All right. Well, going to be a little different. I have a couple of words for people, but I'll wait and see if God has me do it afterwards, because I want to give the team. We sent a team to Mardi Gras, if you will, and go into that Sodom and Gomorrah town of that time and season, if you will. And Chris, I believe, has been going for like 8 years, but he led the team. And I've asked him to come and share testimonies. I encourage you to keep your receiver up. Because what's going to be shared, there's going to be fruits and a spirit of compassion on it. There's going to be a fruit and a spirit of boldness on it. And there's going to be activation. What you just had a while ago, getting prayer, was activation. We've got to learn to keep our spiritual antennas up and get activated even more. Amen?
Yeah.
Come on, man. This is really good stuff. Short little messages. All right. Blessings. Bishop Chris. Just kidding about the bishop.
First of all, I just want to say thank you. I consider it a pleasure to be a sent one. And really, I hope that sinks in, that we all are sent ones. Jason, now you're a called one. Come here. Joyce, where are you hiding? Joyce. Now you're a called one. Anyway, I'm gonna let my brother Jason share first. Thank you, guys.
Well, Mardi Gras was quite an experience. I didn't really know what to expect, and it was funny. About 2 or 3 weeks beforehand, I had been talking with Mike, and he's like, "Any areas that you need prayer for?" And I said, "Well, I've been dealing with some rejection and being timid at the wrong time, afraid if I go up and, ask for somebody for prayer, they're going to turn me down." He says, "Well, guess what? You're going to Mardi Gras. You're going to get that, rubbed out real quick." And boy, did I. But it was, the first night we were there was, first night and actually into the second night, it was just so overwhelming how much darkness was there. I mean, I really didn't realize, I'd heard New Orleans was dark, but I didn't realize how much occult was there. Every other shop was a voodoo shop, and I mean, there's so many people set up tarot card readers, and I was like, just these masses and masses of people out there, and I was like, wow, what are we going to do? What am I going to do here? Well, that's the cool thing about God. You don't have to do anything. We just have to show up, and He uses us. And I mean, people have been asking me about the trip, and it was such an overload to my brain and to my heart that I'm like, well, I can give you a little bit and piece here because I'm still trying to process all of it, because it was just so overwhelming, God's love and God's power. I was raised up, when I got into the church, that, a lot of it was works. You got to do this, you got to do that. So I got a little discouraged the first night out, or second night out, because we're out passing out tracts, and there's just all these people, and they're like, no, I don't need any of that, don't want any of that. And I'm like, are we doing anything here? But then God's so cool. As soon as I get discouraged, somebody'd say, hey, you need to come over here and pray for this person. Yeah, Vaughn, yes. It's a little prayer warrior that they tagged me with. God knew how to set everything up. Because she's been doing it for 25, 30 years, something like that. So God knew who to put me with. And I actually got to lead this one guy to the Lord. He just got out of prison, had a record, couldn't get a job. And I came up and gave him my testimony and said, hey, I've got 3 felonies and I've been over on the dark side for quite some time. And God just started downloading all these words to give in, to pour into him. And I said, you got to hold your head up. And, he rededicated. And it was funny. I looked up and we were standing in the doorway of Madame Maru's voodoo shop. And I was like, oh, this is just so cool how God is. His light penetrates the darkness everywhere we're at, And the darkness didn't stand a chance. And, people would come up and they're like, oh, you're one of those. And I'm like, yeah, I guess I am. I'm just smiling and
turn it down.
And his love is so great and so amazing. It was just overwhelmed me. There was another kid, another one of my disobedient times. I'm sitting over there, we're down by the water, and there's bands playing, it's so loud, and I'm sitting over talking to somebody else. I said, man, it's so loud, I can't even minister to anybody. What can I do here? Because I can't even hear myself think. And Yvonne again is like, hey, come over here and talk to this kid. And this was a kid that's been raised up in the church, and he said, well, if I was to die, I don't know if I would, go see Jesus. So I got to lead him to the Lord, and as I'm leading him to the Lord, this jet two jets go right across the top. And I said, wow, God has just given you, you know, confirmation of what how much he loves you. And it was so awesome that as long as I got out of the way, God was working plenty. You know, it was just me stepping out of the way and say, okay, God, what do you want to use me for? And just loving on people, because there's another group of people down there called we call them the haters, because they got these big signs that says God hates, you know, lesbians. He hates drunks. He hates, you know, hates. And I'm like, what God are you serving? But then they would come over and talk to us, and they would see that we were just full of love and weren't judging them, and just the words that we would be able to give to them, and just to give them a different spin on it for them to realize that, hey, God does love you. I mean, I even got to talk to a psychic, and he was all had his guard up and was coming up to, you know, trying to, you know, badger me, and I just, you know, was sitting there and just started talking to him and, you know, just showing him some love. And at the end of it, he's like, wow, it was really a pleasure getting to talk to you. You know, it made me think different today. And it's just amazing. Just, you know, what is our job to do? Spread God's love. That's it. Give them some hope. Give them some love. That's all we have to do. But we look at it, we got this checklist. I got to do this. I got to do that. God wiped that smooth out for me. He says, no, you just show up. Just smile and I'll do the rest. And he did. So many times. And the song we were just, you know, singing, talking about, you know, the light in the darkness. I could see the light in the darkness there. Because, you know, for 20 years I walked in the darkness, the same kind of places. People ask me if I've been to Mardi Gras before. I said, well, I can't really remember. Maybe, because, you know, most of my life was one big blur. But I've been to those dark places. You know, you can go downtown Dallas, you know, where all, you know, Deep Ellum, and you see all the same stuff. But the light does penetrate the darkness. Even in the darkest, darkest spot, that little bit of light just saturates the area. And it was so cool seeing God work like that.
Sweet.
Come on. First, thank you. He knows me well. First of all, I just want to thank everybody for sending us. This was my fourth year, and when I started coming here, I was challenged, and I didn't realize the challenges that the Lord was going to place on my heart. And I come from an environment where it was works and I could do no wrong. I was the oldest of the children and I had that laid upon my head. I had all that. So when I first was talked into going to Mardi Gras by the team member that leads our group, I felt the same as Jason. What can I do? I mean, you know, I don't know the scriptures well enough to say, well, you know, this. I didn't even know how to pray. To be honest with you, I was raised Catholic, and they don't really pray except for certain prayers over and over again. So I had a really hard time with that. Well, this year, we always try to start meeting about 4 or 5 weeks before we go. And so this year, Pastor Mike had said something that had blew me away, because it was right about the time of preparation for going to Mardi Gras. And it was just for the Lord to reveal in our lives something that the Lord needed to show us. And he showed me I had this spirit of fear. And so I started working on that right away. And just asking God to break that from me, because I always go to Mardi Gras fearful, because I don't know how I can make a difference. Because I still have that thing of works in me, which I'm trying to overcome. But anyways, so with that said, I was working on that. But, you know, the people that I was able to speak to, I didn't really bring anyone into the Lord. But every person I prayed for gave me so much hope, because all my prayers were encouragement. And I think that's what the Lord was trying to show me. He was trying to show me through my being able to talk to these people and pray for the people that I prayed for. He was showing me that there's no fear. I don't even remember. I talked to one young girl. Actually, all the people that I did pray for were already said that they'd already knew the Lord. And they were down there just having fun. So anyways, every one of them. But there was one young girl that I prayed for that She had an amazing story. I mean, what she was just sharing with me. And while I was talking to her, the young man that was with me, he was ministering to her boyfriend, who really was lost. And so I just started talking to her, and we were just holding on a conversation. And she was just sharing with me all these things that she had been through in her life. She had lost 14 people. She was 21 years old. She had lost 14 people in her life already to death. And 11 of them were to drinking and driving. And she went on to say about how much she was sharing with me how her mom and dad had gotten a divorce, and how when she was young, and how much she loved her dad, and her dad was just diagnosed with terminal cancer, stage 4. And he didn't live close to her, so she tried to go over there a couple of times a week to be with him and stuff. And I'm just sharing some of the stuff that she shared with me just to tell you where it ended up going. This young girl was amazing to me because she loved her dad so much. And the reason why her mother and father were divorced was because when she was 7 and her sister was 8, her father was molesting them. And yet she had forgiven him, and he's the only one. She's the only one that ministers to her father right now. She goes to him every day. She says, I can't let him die alone. And so when I prayed for her, because I asked her if I could pray for her, I don't even know what I said. That was just totally the Lord stepping in. Because I don't remember what I said, but I just know this, that when I was done praying for her, she said that was exactly what she needed to hear. And that was the Lord. That wasn't me. And so he was just very encouraging to me this year to see the things that he's doing in me, and how just being obedient and going. On our way out, Tuesdays are really my favorite days, and I shared this the other night, that Tuesdays are really my favorite day because you see a lot of the children, and they come out dressed in their little costumes and everything, and some of them are very not what you would want to see your child in, but, you know, you get the opportunity to pray for them while you see them out there, you know? And but this Tuesday, we were on our way out because at the end, we have to meet our driver, so we have to go really fast. And so we were on our way going to meet our group, and so we're walking really fast down the street, and we come across this one building that has a table out in front of it, and standing on the table, there's these 3 little girls, maybe 3 or 4 years old, and they're dressed very very sleazy. I don't know that word, provocative, I can't even say it, but anyways, they were dressed, and they were posing, smiling and just posing, and it totally broke my heart. These are children. Do their parents not realize what they're doing to their kids? And it made me think about my granddaughter. She's 5. And the environment that she lives in with her mother, because her mother is lost. And I just said, you know, Lord, you wanted me to see that for a reason. The children are the ones we go for. Because what happens if the parents, you know, you young people that don't have children, that are married and not married and don't have children yet, you have such an honorable blessing to be here, to learn the blessings of God, to be able to know what it means to be loved by the Father, to know how you can instill that in your children as you start having them. Because there's so many of these children that don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. And it stems from the parents. So God I feel like the Lord just showed me that, because it pressed a deep, deep down inside me. It just broke my heart. Just broke me for the children. And I just want to say that one of the greatest things that happens down there is the worship before. They so prepare you for going out. I mean, the Lord is working with you every single day. You are growing, and then you are able to share that out on the streets. It's just an amazing ministry for the people that go. I mean, it's not just what we can do for the Lord by bringing them in, by praying for them, just showing the love of God. But he just does amazing things for you, too. And I have to say that that was really a change in my whole life, was the first time I went to Mardi Gras. And I went absolutely terrified. I'm almost as terrified as this.
Me too. Thank you. I have a million things I could share, but first of all, I just want to say you didn't lead anybody to Christ, you say. But anytime we take Christ out anywhere, and like the song that said, the world is full of his glory, we get to go out with this in the glory bubble. And people, we get into it, and they just get in our bubble, and they start speaking the truth. People say, wow, I haven't told anybody that. They're looking at, what is going on? So I want to tell one story about a guy, and it really jacked me up. But I'm sitting there with a sign, and my son made the sign, and it said, God thinks you're fantastic. And he had Nacho Libre on the other side. He says, God love is really good. So he was just looking at the sign and looking at the sign. He goes, how can you say that? And I was like, because. He loves you. He thinks you're fantastic. And he was like, I've done so much. He's like, dude, you have no idea. And he has a problem with hell. I have a problem with hell, too. I don't like it. But I don't want to be there, and lived enough of it in my life that I really don't like it at all. Anyway, so he's looking at it, and then he starts saying, well, what about the people that have never heard and don't understand all this stuff about the haven't heard the gospel, and how can a God of love, you know, that thinks I'm fantastic, and put people in hell? And I said, do you know why God created hell? And he just started talking. He said, yeah, for the devil and his angels. I was like, this guy's a background. And so we just started talking. Well, lo and behold, the dude had been in Bible school. He has walked with the Lord, and all of a sudden, and me and Jason were talking to him for half an hour at least, and all of a sudden, I saw me. I'm looking in a mirror 8 years into being in hell myself, walking away from the Lord, thinking that I was going to hell. And all of a sudden, I looked at him and said, hey, dude, let me tell you my story. And so I just started talking to him, heart to heart. And this is the thing. From Revelations, it talks about the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. First of all, it's the blood of the Lamb. It has little to do with us. It's about the blood of the Lamb on us, giving us our testimony and freeing people. Well, this guy, and he's sitting there full of shame. And he's got a hoodie, like you can barely see his face. And I said, stop, don't say anything. And I want to tell you exactly what the devil has told you, what he told me. And I bet it's the same. And I reeled it all off, and he just looked at me and goes, wow, how did you know that? I said, because the devil's a liar, and he's not creative. He uses the same scripture about, you know, a man cleans his house and doesn't feel it right, and he comes back with seven of his friends and all these things. You blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And he was just unraveled. He just sat there and looked at me like, wow. And so when I just started imploring, dude, you're 8 years in, and he started telling his story, how he'd been backslidden from the Lord for 8 years. He was doing like this. He said, man, I woke up in the hospital last week, and somebody jumped me, beat me up, took everything I have, and he had like a big 40-ounce beer or something. He said, all I have is this, and somebody gave it to me. I don't have anything, man. And so we just began to love on him and pray for him. And God was just telling me, look, man, you don't have to go 14 years like I did. It's bad enough you've gone 8 years. And he was just, he put his hands out, and he just, pray for me, you know. Is this real? Are you real? You know, pray for me. So we just laid hands on him and prayed for him. I wanted to take him home. I was like, I wanted to tell my wife, like, dude, you need to come with us. Just stop running. Come. I'll take you in the van. I got a spot. But anyway, he left, and his name is Travis. So if Travis comes on your heart, just speak life into Travis. He just wandered off, and as he walked off, you could see he was just like, he's blown away. Because we do, we bring people to Christ, and we are the church. His glory does fill the earth.